Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Luke chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he was teaching, he was speaking the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, or who we will become to know as Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out in deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Now, I want you to kind of picture humanity here. This is not a robotic response where Jesus says this and Simon says, "We've been working hard all night, but nevertheless, because he said so, we will do it." That's not how we operate. Jesus says to him, "Now that I'm done teaching, why don't we go out and why don't we fish?" Now, Peter makes it clear, "Listen, me and my partners, we have been fishing all night. We have been here now, this morning, cleaning all the nets," which you have to do after every time you fish. They're going through and they're cleaning everything. They are tired. They have been up all night. They have been fishing. They have been cleaning. They are preparing for maybe a nice breakfast or brunch and going home and relaxing until they have to go back to work tonight to fish again. They're tired. And Jesus says, "Hey, I got this idea. Seems I slept last night and I taught." I'm just throwing in a little bit of humanity here into the picture, so I don't want to take things out of context, but I want you to understand what's happening. And Simon says, "We've been here, we've been listening to you teach." Basically, when he says master or rabbi or teacher, "Listen, I respect you, and you are doing a great thing for all of us who are hearing you, but we have been working all night." And the expression on his face, if he was kind of like in the medium of humanity, the average, looking at Jesus saying, "Master," and inside he's going, "Listen, I want to respect you so much, but let me tell you something. We have been working all night." And there's the pause. And I can just see Jesus standing there. And finally Peter does the pause, like, "We've been working all night. Nevertheless, because you said so, we will go out and..." Okay? So that's the human part. And this is what's happening. And they go out to deep water. Let's look what happens as we read on. I mean, some of you know this story, and some of you maybe have never heard it, but you can kind of anticipate what's going to happen here. Verse 6, "When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break." Now, they were out all night, and these are professional fishermen, and they didn't catch anything. "When they had done so, as Jesus said, to go put out in deep water, their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be troubled. Don't be scared.'" From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. We look at a story like that and a historical account of what took place. And it's the difference of doing things on our own compared to doing things in obedience to God's directions. We all do things on our own. We all do. Those of us who believe in Jesus and we want to be led by the Spirit, there's still these moments where we just do things on our own. Then there are things that we do in faith. You know, it's not like God told me to get up and go to work today. It's just I know my responsibility before Him and for my family and to have a good testimony and glorify His name. I'm going to get up and I am going to go to work. Okay? And I don't see that just always doing it on your own if you commit your way to Him. There's a difference between doing things on our own and doing things according to His direction, His leading, His word. Listen, there's something in this for all of us, especially when we look at things we don't understand about God, or we look in the Scripture and we wrestle with some directive He gives, or His will about something, or what He says about something that applies to our life that we're not real keen about, or that we don't totally understand, or we look from our perspective and we think, that doesn't make sense. Well, after all, this was written a long time ago, and of course, God is irrelevant. Or He doesn't understand my situation, or that doesn't apply. And so we continue to go on our own. And I want you to know the catch will be limited. The fruitfulness in our life will be limited, at least the fruitfulness of what matters. If we do things according to obedience and His leading, you and I will be astounded. When we look at it through human eyes, if I obey Him and I do this, or I do what He's calling me to do or ask me to do by a revelation of His Spirit or by the revelation of His Spirit in His written word that I read, I don't see how this is going to work out. I have seen it in my own life and I have done it. I have had people come and say, listen, I can't afford to tithe. I've done the numbers. I've done this. I've done that. It doesn't make sense. And so they take steps of faith and they tithe, and all of a sudden they go, this doesn't make sense. How come I have money left and I'm not living paycheck to paycheck anymore? I don't know. And listen, this isn't just a message about money. It's just all of that kind of, we get to a place where that kind of applies to us. Are we doing our own thing, or are we honoring Him and obeying Him in any area of our life? Don't have sex before marriage. Yeah, but we love each other, or we're going to get engaged, or we are, or what? And we think, you know, just it's okay. God knows and understands our situation and that we're going to get married, and that's in our intent. Listen, there's no loopholes around it. And you think, well, how's that going to work? How can we undo what we've already done? It's the same as any other issue. Let's just go and obey Him and trust Him and honor Him. And He knows how to work these things out. He knows the way out of things we've entangled ourselves in. It's the difference of doing what we just want to do and do things our own way compared to doing things according to His word, according to His leading, according to His Spirit. That's one of the lessons of this parable. Not a parable, sorry. This account of what happened with the disciples. It's this, I see them doing things on their own and I see them responding and doing things when Jesus tells them to. Listen, the time where the disciples went out was the prime time of fishing. But the biggest catch was outside of what humanity thought was prime time. He works beyond the natural parameters. He's supernatural. He supersedes things. He can work things out in our life that are impossible for us. We all face limitations. We all face impossibilities. But God is not bound. He supersedes nature. He's greater. And just because I can't see the way out and because I don't understand it, it doesn't mean that there's not a way for it to happen. In Him, all things are, say it, all things in Him are possible. Wonderful thing about what happened here is it wasn't really about the catch of fish. It was about God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, revealing Himself to people. It wasn't about the great catch. It wasn't about the bragging down at the fisherman's wharf about our nets breaking, there was so much fish. It was about God revealing Himself to humanity. What He's like, who He is, how much He cares. I told you I would tell you a story about a person I had a conversation with recently, and this is just one of a history of people. I went and showed up to pray for somebody, and I just felt like after praying with this person, one of their family members, I said, you know, would you be interested in just taking a 5-minute walk? How long you been in the room here? Well, they were there for a while. I said, why don't we just go for a 5-minute walk? You know, it's the excuse of, I'll get you out of the room for a few minutes. You know, take a break, okay? We go for a little stroll. Now, what's on my mind is not really just giving them a 5-minute break to get out of the room. I want to give opportunity for the Lord to do something in their life. We're going to go for a little walk. I said, do you want anything to eat? Do you want a can of pop? Do you want a coffee? Do you want a whatever? And we talk. We stop in the hallway. We walk a little further. I'm walking now down these hallways of this hospital to the point where you're starting to, oops, you run into doors that say entrance prohibited, you know, because I'm not paying attention where we're walking. I'm paying attention, what are we talking about? And began to talk with this individual, and they said, you know, because I asked a couple light questions and asked a little question and showed genuine interest in them. And they just said, you know, it's not a problem believing that God exists for me. Where I have the problem is that I don't agree with the way that He does things, or how He does things, or the things that He doesn't seem to do. This is where I've got this problem. And I said, you know, I understand that. Because there have been times in my life where I've not always agreed with God or understood what He did or didn't do. I said, so let me talk to you just as a man, not as a pastor. I have to do that sometimes. Most of you don't have to do that. I got to, like, get the pastor thing off so they can see I'm just a guy like Jim and James, and, you know. I said, let me talk to you just as a man. I said, I get that. But, you know, let me tell you what's happened for me, what I've kind of discovered. You know, people we get to know better, we tend to trust more. We tend to love them more because we get to know them. We find out that we can trust them or not trust them. We, you know, and so the ones we build relationships with and develop this friendship or love with, we trust them. I said, you know, I've discovered it's the same thing with God. There are people in my life where I've not understood things about them, but the more I got to know them, the more I began to understand things. I said, it's just like with God. I found out that if I get closer to Him and don't allow my misunderstandings or my offenses to keep me distant from Him, but rather I trust Him, I get closer to Him, the more I get to know Him, the more I begin to trust Him with the things I don't understand. And I also discovered this, the more I get to know Him, I gain a little more understanding and a little more knowledge that I didn't have before. And now it changes the information in the way I look at things in life. I said, so for me, the closer I got to God, the more I learned, the more I could trust Him. I said, so I still go through that process. I got to still know Him more. So I said, wherever you're at, I just want to encourage you, if you get closer to Him, you're going to learn that you can trust Him. Compared to where we stand at now, and we lack information of who He is and what He's like, and so we make these decisions about someone we don't understand and that we don't know. Talks about transforming this labor force, these fishermen, okay? Transforming the labor force into laborers in His vineyard. See, you and I are to, yeah, we still work and we work in a labor force, but we are supposed to be so transformed that we are laborers in His vineyard even while we are working in this world and dealing with responsibilities daily in life. I look at this is just one conversation I told you about. I can't tell you the number of conversations I've had with people like that. I know that some of you have had those conversations with people. Listen, I didn't quickly push this person and say, so now that I told you that, that's what you're going to do, and would you like to say the sinner's prayer right now? Because for some reason, the sinner's prayer, I'll keep your spot, James. The sinner's prayer that we lead people through, you know, the principles of it are found in here, but the sinner's prayer isn't found in here, and we get this idea that if they say the sinner's prayer, that's the point they get saved. I'll tell you the point they get saved is the point they believe on Him. The point they believe upon Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And when they believe upon Him, they confess things. They know, okay? They know they need to come to Him. He looks upon the inside of the person. Listen, the sinner's prayer is a help. Absolutely. No question. I've led it here in different ways, shapes, and forms, just like many of you. But this person, I just brought them to a place of realization, something for them to consider. And because they were sincere with me, I know that their response to what we talked about will be sincere. And you know what? I got to leave room for the Holy Spirit to do something. Because He's the one that started it to begin with. And He will see it through. It doesn't remove responsibility from me. But I have to remember, though I'm laboring and working, why do I add to it with one of my magic formulas of what I feel comfortable with? All the teachings that Jesus did in the parables and just all the teachings. I mean, there's a call to repentance. We understand that. And I know not everything is written in here that Jesus could do. The books could not hold it. We know the scripture says that. But are we just moving ahead and doing things because it's just the way we do them and on our own? Or are we allowing him to lead and tell us what to do, not to do? He will never tell us anything to do or not to do outside of his word. He'll never go against this. He will not go against his own word. You know, there is a significant thing about what we've read. And I'm touching on some different things for probably different audiences in this room. You know the wonderful thing? I'm going to show you this in John. I think it's John chapter 21. Why don't you turn to John 21? Let's see it. Make sure I'm at the right place. Yeah, John chapter 21. We'll start with verse 4. Now, this is after Jesus was crucified, dead and buried, and now he rose again. All right? Look at this. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish? Did you catch anything?" They answered back, "No." He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Let me tell you about a significant thing that we can miss. The reason Jesus could instruct them to do something at the moment when they were fishing is really profound, is because they were fishing. You're saying, what's the significance in that? Listen, how can God instruct you to do something if you're not doing it? He could instruct them to throw the net on the other side because they were actually out there fishing. He can instruct me to ask a person to go for a 5-minute walk because I'm there and I'm fishing. Listen, there are peripheral people. I can't tell you the number of times I have specifically gone to fish for a specific person to be converted to Christ. I want them to come to faith. Okay? Listen, those of you who are actual fishermen, there are times, don't tell me that this has not happened to some of you. There have been specific times where you have gone and fished for a specific fish because you have seen that fish or you've had it on the line before. You saw him in the back corner of that bay, and you know what? It doesn't matter how many people are catching fish everywhere else. You are going to the back corner of the bay because you saw him. How many of you have seen a muskie come to the surface and do its log roll? Seen it? And if you go muskie fishing, you know what you do? You go right over to the spot where you saw him log roll. Because that's the fish you fish. Now, he's probably not there. I have fished for specific fish. Back when I used to do a lot of fishing, I have fished for a specific fish. And while doing that, I caught other fish. Well, that one we can take home. But not happy. Because I'm fishing for a specific fish. And I want you to know how insane I got with some of it. I named some of them. You deer hunters, you know what I'm talking about. I've named deer, specific deer I've gone after. Bucky? Okay, Jim, stick to fishing. No. Listen. He can instruct us if we're fishing. If we're going out to reach somebody, and listen, there are peripheral people. I cannot tell you, only God could keep a record of this. The people I have specifically gone to fish for and not caught, but someone in their family, in their friendship group, in the public setting, they heard, they watched, they observed, and they come over and go, "Hi, can I talk to you?" "Sure. Would you like to go for a walk, or you want to just sit here, or can I get you a soda?" Yeah. "I'm so-and-so." You know, and they're just a little unnerved, looking around. I mean, they've walked around and talked to other people, but now they want to talk to me. And they said, "I heard what you said," or "I watched what you did," or whatever, whatever, whatever. "Or I saw you do someone's funeral." "Or I saw you did my friend's wedding." "Or you visited my grandma in the hospital. You saw my uncle at the nursing home. You went to my grandpa's house and he doesn't go to your church." And now, a fish on the periphery bites. Or you go thinking, "This is the person I was sent here to minister to." And when you get there, you minister to them, and all of a sudden, God says, "Throw the net on the other side of the hospital bed. Throw the net on the other side of the ball diamond. Throw the net on the other side of this person's living room. If we're not fishing, he can't tell us to do it." That's the significance of part of this. He says, "I will take a labor force, people, and transform them to a labor force in my vineyard. And they can work hard and they can go. But when they go, listen to me or go back out." Listen, I've had to do those calls. "Hey, listen. Not to pester you, bother you. I know I spoke to you yesterday, but I just wanted to call you in today. How are you doing?" And yesterday it was stone cold, and today it was open. Because he said, "Call." He said, "Go." He said, "Throw the net over here. Quit fishing here for right now." "That's great. That's great. Throw it over here. Go over there. You're on your way. Hey, by the way, since you're on your way over here, Randy, could you stop over here at so-and-so's office?" "Sure." The point is, they were fishing. Have you and I been fishing? Or are we just so wrapped up in our nets? Are we just so wrapped up in our routines? Are we just so wrapped up in what we call our responsibilities? Are we just so wrapped up in all of this, entangled in our nets, that we're not actually fishing? Are we tangled up in just making it to church on Sunday? Are we just so wrapped up in the worship that we don't fish? Because I'll tell you this, our worship means very little if we're not fishing. If we're not listening to his directives. Have you even encouraged, you didn't even have to fish far. I mean, it's like what they say, shooting fish in a barrel, right? There's fish in a barrel you can't miss. Listen, just to encourage those who maybe are already saved. Do you know how many visitors and newer people that have collected here over the last few years? Enough for us to probably either build or do two services. By the way, that was not a hint. I do not want to build. We don't need to go bigger here. If we build, we're doing something off another part of the building for other types of ministries. We can hold 2-3 services in here before we have to build a sanctuary. Everybody said,
amen.
You know, look around. There's some empty seats. And this isn't about filling up the place. This is about people. This isn't about the pride of a full service or 2 services or 3 services. Okay? I mean, this is not about being the great pastor and the great preacher. Listen, I got to tell you something. I've preached at bigger platforms than this and have been a part of bigger churches than this, okay? So this is not about, you know, make it big. This is about reaching people because people matter. This is about fishing so that he can tell us where to cast the nets. This is about being busy doing his work. But who around you isn't sitting here that should be sitting here? Who calls himself a part of this church who isn't here this morning, and maybe it's for not a good reason? Who have you called him? Have you talked to him? Have you encouraged him? Who around you that doesn't come to this church needs to know the Lord? Who have we fished for? Who have we reached? I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord sometimes directs me to do something on my way to fish and points me another direction or asks me to do something, I want you to know it's not always this full presentation of the gospel. You understand that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Okay, bow your head with me. Say these words. Okay, listen. Sometimes it's simply stopping by somewhere or going out of your way or delaying your schedule, your almighty important schedule, 15 minutes, to just simply be nice and thoughtful and kind to someone. Knowing, because you know in your spirit, that you're coming back to fish there. You're coming back. Going back to fish there. Lord says, go over there and prepare the soil. I have to be careful because over the ministry years, I have bought a lot, I mean a lot of donuts. That became dangerous because I became heavy. Used to deliver a lot of donuts to a lot of people. Just saying, hi, brought these for you and your staff. Brought this for you and your office people. Brought this over here for you. The problem was I always had a half a dozen left in my vehicle, Jeff, and I got heavy. Listen, he can do that if we're out there, if we're fishing. We hear a message on God's love for us. And at the end of it, it was so that you can be a light. Encouraging people. Helping them get over hurdles and bumps. By saying, you know, yeah, I understand. If you really genuinely understand, you got questions about God. Not sure how he does everything. I'm still discovering that. But I found out that I understand more the more I get to know him. And so if you really want to try to understand what you're going through or what somebody's going through around you, get closer to him. You'll gain more understanding. You'll get to know what he's like. These aren't just fish stories. This is about him causing us to be endued with power to be his witnesses. Acts 1:8. His Spirit's outpoured that we could have power to be his witnesses. That he takes everyday people like me, you, fishermen, and transforms them and their life and their lifestyle and their employment, that though they still do these things, now it is with this power and you're fishing while you're doing it. Do you have a burden for anybody? Do you have a burden for somebody in your family, a friend, a coworker? A person maybe you haven't talked to for a long time? What have you done for them lately? What kindness? What display, a revelation of God? Listen, don't be above being a delivery boy. Listen, I love being a delivery boy. I do. Bringing stuff to people. Aren't we supposed to be bringing the good news? Sometimes the good news is paved by a dozen donuts. It's paved the way. Apples. Jerky. There's a few other things I'd like, JR. I'm kidding you. Listen. Kindness paves the way. Understanding that the way we live, that there's an audience. Not doing it to try to impress, doing it to honor him, and people notice. Some people are attracted to it. Some hate it because they just hate God. Then they can hate me for the right reasons. For those of you who don't understand the love of God and you've been burned by people in your life, maybe you've been burned even by some church or some pastor where you had different expectations of love or acceptance or whatever it is. Maybe they erred, maybe you did, maybe it was both, maybe it's, you know, whatever. But don't let that stop you from getting close to him. No. That's a side note. It had nothing to do with the sermon. It's a side note. Because there was a message of love that came this morning. And we all want that love. We want to dare to let him in. But then you know when we do, he transforms us. And we're supposed to be fishing. And not just doing it on our own, our way, in the way we just know how to do it. Listen to him. Jesus was walking through the crowd, and somebody tugged on the hem of his garment, and he said, "Hold it. Hold the parade here. Who touched me?" "What do you mean, who touched you, Master?" There was somebody on the peripheral who believed and was moved upon and reached out. If we just get busy doing our own thing, you and I will walk right by them. Peripheral person. He was a man of shorter stature, but he wanted to get to see this Jesus. So he goes down a little further where Jesus looks like he's going to pass, and he climbs a tree. Jesus gets there and stops. "Want to have lunch at your house today?" I can see it. The Father, the Holy Spirit revealing to Jesus, "Stop right there. There's somebody on the peripheral, on the edge. I know, son, you're on your way to somewhere else, but there's a guy in a tree. So, son, go to his house for lunch. Sure, father. I'll do it. I see him. I'll do it when I get there. Hey, Zacchaeus.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.